Thanks, Greg. Yes, we're here with CJ Cheng, who has just played Harold in Italy. CJ, that was beautiful.
Thank you very much.
That was very unusual staging. I was counting. You must have been in at least five different spots all over the stage while you played this.
Yes, it was exactly five different positions. Yeah, thank you very much. Last year, we had some offstage person playing on upstairs, and I kind of joked to Yannick, we knew we were going to play Harold in Italy together, so I kind of joked about me being up there, since the Harold in the beginning was supposed to be up in the mountain and looking down. So, and then he totally agreed.
What's it like for you playing it and hearing the orchestra in different spots? Does that affect how you approach it?
It is really, really interesting. Yeah, I loved it. In the first rehearsal, maybe I had to get a little used to, because each position, your own instrument sounds a little bit different, speaks a little bit differently, so you have to get used to that. But once I got used to it, I think I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
There's an interesting story about the composition itself. Paganini, great violinist, asked Berlioz to please compose something for him, and then he didn't play it.
Yes, Paganini acquired this great Stradivarius viola, and he was probably the greatest virtuoso violinist that ever lived, at least until then. And so he wanted to get a really great viola concerto. Berlioz came back home and started writing it, but I don't think he actually knew what to do with the viola part, but he really wanted to write a symphony. So he was writing a symphony with the viola playing the Harold theme, which sounds like this.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, thank you very much. So this theme comes back over and over again in each movement, but it doesn't have the big virtuoso passages. And the most important reason that Paganini refused to play was there were a lot of rests. Yeah, which is part of reason why we also did the positioning, so I don't have to sit in one place and do nothing. There are probably over 100 bars of rest that I should be counting. So while my colleagues are playing, then switching positions. And
do you think about the story about Harold going through Italy?
Oh, yeah. I not only go through the story, I picture it and try to feel the same way. Of course, it's a little hectic to think about all that, but hopefully that puts me in the mood of playing all these things.
When you're moving around the stage, mm-hmm. you're on a podium next to the harp, and then you're in the front of the orchestra, then you're over between the cellists and the bass players, then you're back up behind the cellist in front of the brass section, then you're up in the balcony. Are there musical considerations as to where you stand, as well as dramatic considerations?
Yes. The very beginning of the viola solo in the first movement is basically duet with a harp. So I situated myself right next to harp, so we can hear each other a little bit higher, and I look over the orchestra, and and middle of the movement, I join the orchestra. I go up where the soloist normally stands, and I join the party. Up front is where that we really have to hear each other. Middle of the second movement, I go back to where the bassists are doing. It's a canto religioso place, and I play with them and create the mood, jam with the bass players. It's always fun. Again, third movement and fourth movement, you're kind of up in the mountains again. So I go the other side on a pretty high podium there, very near the English horn and the horns, the principal horn. They had a major theme there. So, again, we can hear each other very well. And for the last part, you want to be kind of offstage, kind of far away sounding.
Are there any particular parts that you really love because it showcases something the viola can do?
Oh, it's a theme, It's such a great, simple, but it's such a beautiful and great theme. It's actually very difficult to just, go out and play that theme right off the bat, because you don't really have time to warm up. But that theme just features what the viola sound is all about.
Are there any special techniques you use while you're playing this?
There's one part I'm playing arpeggios, a place that I jam with the bass players back there. He writes a Ponticello arpeggio, which sounds like this. up close. Which is kind of unusual sound, but this is designed to create this ambience of possibly in a church or where the choir is going. The choir part obviously played by strings and the orchestra, but you know that I'm supposed to create this mood, the religious mood for it. Yeah, so this Ponticello is quite unique composition that was written at that period.
I would imagine when you're practicing this and playing this, that you must be singing this in your head all the time, on stage or off stage.
Yeah, I dream it too. Yeah, you know, I've been looking forward to this because, you know, I mean, this really is a symphony, and playing with the greatest orchestra in the whole world is very inspiring, and the greatest music director, in my opinion, in Yannick, and it's such a pleasure, and it's a real dream come true. Thank you.
Could we talk about the viola itself, why you were drawn to it, and how it's different from the other stringed instruments?
Oh, I think it's chemistry for me. I played the violin for a long time, and I went to Curtis and graduated and all that. And when I picked up the viola somewhere along and I practiced it, you know, I was just so happy. And I think it fits my personality. Yeah, I just love the tone.
I understand you have a brand new viola that was made just for you.
Yes, and on the label, it also have my name on it, so I'm going to go down in history on this viola. I was using a very old viola until 3 months ago. It was considered to be about 360 years old. It's a very beautiful instrument, but also very big. It was 17 inches, the body length.
How big is a viola typically?
Anywhere between 15 and a half to 17 and a half. There are some really huge violas up to 18 and maybe over 18 sometimes. But that's absolute, the biggest violas you can find. So even the 17-inch viola that I was using was considered very large and also had very broad shoulders and it was kind of hard to get around. And I felt like I was not getting any younger. I needed to acquire something smaller. And has a different sound. I feel the smaller violas sound more like a contralto, more than a tenor, in opposed to tenor, you know, made by bigger instruments. But it's a beautiful instrument. It was built by Sam Zygmuntowicz. He's probably the most sought-after living violin maker today. He lives in Brooklyn, and I always admired his instruments. And I ordered it nearly 5 years ago. And I finally got it 3 months ago. So I've been playing on it every day. And this is a model that I really love. It's modeled after Andre Guarneri viola, which was used by Primrose. He said he knew this viola very well. He studied it when he was younger and even looked very much like it. Same size, same color, and hopefully it sounds like it also. But I think there is a lot of characters in the sound that resembles the Guarneri viola that this was modeled after.
What is the range of a viola?
The lowest note is a C. It sounds like this. This C is exactly one octave higher than the cello C. And it can go as high as you want, actually. You know, I could play, you know, something like this, but it would not be so pretty on the viola, actually. We leave that up to the violinist. Usually, the highest note we play in a concerto is a high A. It's on Walton and Bartok concerto. Yeah, I think that's the highest note there is in the repertoire on a standard concerto.
You said in this Harold in Italy, it's difficult because you come right in without really having a chance to warm up. What do you do when you warm up, typically?
I have kind of unorthodox method. I warm up in a very dark room. I try to be as dark as possible. And sometimes I even put earplugs on just so I can hear what's really in there. I know it's a little weird because normally you would think that with earplugs you hear less. But I actually hear better because it cuts off all the reverberance of the sound. You only hear what's really in the center of what you're playing, like, especially a piece like this, which is all about your tone.
Last question. The orchestra recorded this in the 1960s with your teacher, Joe DePasquale.
In my opinion, no one did it better than Joe. I learned this from him, and I still look back and remember how he looked, how he sounded. He was the herald in Italy, you know. He was the best.
It was wonderful to talk with you. Thank you so much, CJ Chang.
Thank you very much.